Heroes of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the study for the summer. In-house study with in-house people. We're isolating ourselves from the world, so we've only invited those that are non-infected, like Rick. It's good to see Rick and Leah Brumback with us. I'm sure Catherine's happy. Maybe not. Oh. I'm going to need one of those too, just to remind myself. Enoch. Interesting character study in the book of books, the Bible. We'll look at several passages throughout this class, and hopefully we'll gain a greater appreciation. If you're looking at the questionnaire, the first question is what does the name Enoch mean? Well, I kind of have to either have you look that up with a Bible dictionary, or I'll just have to tell you. But does anybody know what the name Enoch means? Anybody else? Just to check. Mike? Dedication. The name means dedication. And before we... So that's the answer to the first question. So if you want to name a child Enoch, let's pray that he is a dedicated young man. And that is a masculine name, so... If you're going to name a woman that, you might want to find the feminine version, but I haven't found that yet. So, Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11 is referred to in verse 5 after Abel is mentioned in verse 4. And one of the character studies here, it states of Enoch in Hebrews 11 verse 5 that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The idea of translated there is interesting. It's stated in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, that he was taken. He was taken. And illustrate that, we might think of other individual cases in the Bible where others have been taken or translated. Can anybody think of another person in the Bible that was taken? And this is one of your questions here. Number five, we're skipping around, but number five question, can you think of another Old Testament person that God took to heaven? Elijah. And you remember the way he was transported or translated, maybe? Pretty visual event, wasn't it? We're not told about how Enoch was translated, if it happened mysteriously or something. We just know that he was taken. He was translated according to the Hebrews text here. So, I think that this is interesting, but something else we need to point out relative to Enoch's character. And we have to go to the book of Jude for a moment. And we'll quickly go through some passages here, and I have about 3 points I want to try to labor for the rest of the evening. And we'll try to answer all the questions on the sheet. And this actually is going to answer your number two question, because the answer is found in this passage. So, on your sheet, look at question number two from Adam. How many generations passed before Enoch was born? Look at Jude, the book of Jude, verse 14 and 15. Anybody want to take a stab at that answer? Seven. So if we were to go back to the genealogy in Genesis chapter 5, we would note and count from Adam that Enoch would be the seventh in line there. And that's a reference here to the generations from Adam to Enoch. So seven generations. And it's kind of hard to say generations because you remember those guys lived a long time back then. Today we reckon generations in how many years, typically speaking? See, it's kind of a difference of opinion. Some people might say 40. You know, from 40 to 40, there seems to be a cultural change, a mindset that seems to shift. So I don't exactly have that political definition before me. But nonetheless, the Bible says that Enoch was the seventh from Adam here. But look at what Jude says about this Enoch. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." And he's going to come in verse 15 for a reason. In verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Now, I really like the King James Version on this passage. And of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So, Enoch, very special individual, the seventh from Adam. Look at verse number six question on your sheet. And just for a moment here, what does Jude 14 say that Enoch did? Now, according to verse 14, the answer is a singular word. What did Enoch do? He prophesied. So, if you go back to Genesis 5, and we'll do that in just a moment, it says he walked with God. It says Enoch walked with God. The Hebrews writer says that he pleased God. So here's a additional question upon question. While walking with God, Jude tells us he was actually doing what? Prophesying. Could we say preaching too? He was preaching. And then Jude further tells us, elaborating by inspiration, by the way, what he was prophesying and preaching. Now, Enoch only lived 365 years, and we'll go to Genesis 5 here again. I'll keep saying that until I get there. But for 365 years of his life, he walked with God, he pleased God, he preached, prophesied, and Jude tells us what he was prophesying. Jude 15 tells us that he was convincing all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds that they were committing, their speeches, their hard speeches, and he spoke against them. This Enoch pleased God by doing this. This is what he was doing when he walked with God. So, the question here in number four, let's go ahead and answer this one if you haven't. We're going to wipe this out pretty quick. What happened to Enoch when he walked with God, according to Genesis 5:24 and Hebrews 11:5? We've already answered it, but for the kids' sake, what happened to Enoch when he walked with God? He was taken. He was saved. He was taken. He was translated. All those would be acceptable answers. I can't remember what I told Catherine yesterday, but it's one of those two or three, right? All right. We'll have one more question. I think it's number three. How many Enochs can you find in the Bible? And I want to answer that one in just a second. But on this idea of Enoch being taken and Enoch walking with God, I want to look at a context with you in 2 Corinthians 5, where this idea of walking is used. And I want you to see the context of 2 Corinthians 5 when you think about walking with God. As Enoch walked with God and was taken, translated. Look at what Paul says of walking with God as New Testament Christians. Let's start in verse 1. Let's scan through these passages. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the down payment, the investment of the Holy Spirit. It's his word, it's his promises, it's the thing that again sustains us, sanctifies us, holds us, the thing that we can hold on to. But then watch this, verse 6 and following. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, this body, the physical body, we are absent from the Lord. But look at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Are we? Are we walking by faith? I want you to ask yourself that question. I've been asking myself that question a whole lot lately. You got two physicians in life. You got the great physician, and you've got a lot of different physicians in the world, right? The physicians in the world are practitioners. You know what the word practitioner means? They're practicing. And the practitioners of the world are saying a lot of different things right now about a lot of different stuff going on, if you listen to them. I've listened to about 7 different physicians I've asked questions independently. And they've all had different answers about how to respond and react. But they're practitioners. But there's a great physician who's not a practitioner. There's a great physician that hath made me wonderfully created in his own image and has given me an immune system. There's a great physician that says, I will be with you no matter what happens if you'll walk with me, if you'll hold on to my hand. I'll be with you. Do not fear. No matter what happens. And you see, he's not practicing. And his word says the same thing it's always said from the very beginning. And it won't change. His prescription doesn't change. Are you following me? I have to walk by faith, not by sight. Enoch walked with God. How did Enoch walk? Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. What does it say? By faith, Enoch pleased God. Brethren, I'm not saying don't listen to your physicians. But I'm telling you, don't put your physicians on the level of the great physician. Don't do it. Don't do it. Respect them for their education. Respect all mankind. But please respect God Almighty always. He has wonderfully created us and made us in his own image. I must walk by faith. So I've heard this a lot lately. We're fighting an invisible enemy. You see, I walk by faith, not by sight anyway. So I'm not worried about the invisible enemy. I'm worried about the invisible God who will save my soul. Make sure you're walking with God if you want to please God. Do you see what I'm saying? What the Bible is saying? Analyze the principles. It's very important. All right, so to do what I said, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 5 for just a moment. Genesis chapter 5. And notice here again this context so you see where it falls into place. Let's start at verse 18. Bonus question. Who was Enoch's father here? Genesis 5, verse 18. Jared. I was hoping Caitlin would answer. I saw her dad telling her. Genesis 5, verse 18. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now, one of the unique things about this text is the phrase, he died. You ought to go through here and circle, and he died. Do you remember what God said in Genesis 2:17 relative to the partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what God said would happen? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Was God telling the truth? You see, the great physician there knew what he was talking about. Sin. Sin. And so here they died, but then as you get to Enoch here, this is back to Genesis 5, all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You remember who Enoch's son was? Methuselah. You remember who Methuselah's son was? Lamech. You remember who Lamech's son was? Noah. So that would make Enoch here the great grandfather to who? Noah. And Noah will do some mighty things too. I don't want to get into Chad's lesson, but I do want you to think about this. If, according to the book of Jude, Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah, was preaching to ungodly people about their ungodly deeds and their hard speeches, and he's preaching a message of judgment that the Lord is going to return with 10,000s of his angels or saints. Isn't it interesting that about 1,096, somewhere around there, 1,069, when Noah comes into the scene, comes upon the pages of history, his great-grandfather, Enoch, has been dead, I think, some 74 years or something of that nature. I'm probably wrong, 76 maybe. And that's based upon the numbers and the math that I think I did. Noah's been alive, or I'm sorry, Enoch's been dead when Noah is born, about 74, 76 years, I think. You can clarify that with me later if I'm wrong, but just get the principle, please. Do you think that Noah was influenced, though, by a great-grandfather that had been deceased? He must have been. And he must have been to the point to where he was preaching a lesson of judgment upon the entire world against unrighteousness. Let me show you something else that's interesting. Before you get to Noah and all that, go back to Genesis chapter 4. Remember, this name, Enoch, actually appears before in Genesis chapter 4. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 16 and following. You remember this individual, Cain? Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. What does that principle mean? He went out from the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. Those negatives always get me. It means he was not walking by faith. It means he was not walking with God. Can I say that? Principally, if Enoch over in Genesis 5 is walking with God, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we're to walk with God. And Cain here walks away from the presence of the Lord. Do you see how that works? Cain was not walking with God. He was walking away from God. Now watch what happens to Cain and his offspring. So just a few names here to kind of throw in some study. So he walks from the presence of the Lord. He goes away and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Same Enoch or different Enoch? And this Enoch here, a different Enoch, born of Cain, has a city that's built. And guess what the name of the city is given? They dedicated that city to the name of his son, and the name of the city was Enoch. So, then look at this, verse 18. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujael, or something like that. And Mahujael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech. Uh-oh, we just read about another man named Lamech too, didn't we, over here? Different Lamechs though, right? But look at this Lamech. Verse 19, this would be the offspring of this Enoch, this Cain. What does he do in verse 19? Lamech took unto him what? Two wives. The name of the one was, they got their names in the Holy Writ for all time. The first polygamist. They got their names on the wall of fame or shame, one or the other. But okay, so Ada or Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And so all instrumental music is of the devil. Have you ever heard that argument? Because of Cain's line here. No, don't make that argument, but it is interesting that I had a brother one time tell me that instrumental music in the Lord's church was wrong because of this passage right here. Because Jubal. Anyway, I don't go there. So anyway, look at verse 23 though. And I play guitar. I enjoy the guitar, but I keep it to myself. Or my wife, maybe. And Lamech said unto his wives, you wouldn't want to hear me anyway. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now, that's the line of Cain. There's a Lamech, there's an Enoch. Let me just ask you a question so we can answer all the questions on your page. Do you see? What question is this? Number three, how many different Enochs can you find in the Bible? This was new for me. I looked up the name, and you might miss it if you don't look at it from the Hebrew. But there's four passages, so how many Enochs do you think we can find in the Old Testament? There's four. So if you look at Genesis 25, we've already looked at the first two. Genesis 4:17, that's the Enoch of Cain. Genesis 5:18 is the Enoch of, who did I say? Jared. And then Genesis 25, verse 4, anybody remember that context? That one was interesting to me. I'm curious what your translation says. In the Hebrew, it's the same. Genesis 25, verse 4, what does your translation have in the English? I think the King James has Hanok or something. And whose son is that, by the way? Midian, and whose son is Midian? Who had that son? Of Keturah. That's Abraham's offspring, right? Well, that word there, Hanok, or however you say that, is the same in the Hebrew. So that's actually Enoch. It's the same. Might not catch that. So that's number three. And then do you remember Reuben? Remember who Reuben was? Yes, that's right, Tammy. Genesis 46, verse 9, Reuben has a son, I believe, and what's his name? Hanok, or Enoch. It's the same in the Hebrew. And so how many Enochs or how many do we have in the Old Testament scripture? Four. Interesting. You can kind of do a little bit of study. I think that's interesting when you consider the name. And what does that name mean again? What does it mean again, Kipton? The name Enoch? The definition of the word Enoch? Dedication. Dedicated man. Okay. So, some interesting Bible study. But now, back to Genesis chapter 5 and chapter 6 here now. In your Old Testament, when you consider the character of Enoch walking with God, you consider what Jude says he was doing, preaching, prophesying, and what exactly he was preaching and prophesying. Now, having some influence upon his family, it would surely be the case. It should make sense that when you get to Genesis chapter 6, and having looked at Cain's offspring, Cain's Enoch, Cain's Lamech, polygamous, murderer. You get to Genesis chapter 6, and here's why Enoch was preaching. Look at what it says in verse 1 and following, and I'll try not to take too much of your lesson, Chad, but maybe this will add to it. And it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, who would the sons of God be? Godly people, perhaps the Genesis 5 offspring. Perhaps the sons of God up to Enoch and before Noah. And Enoch here now, who is he prophesying against? Maybe those over here, Cain's line in Genesis 4, perhaps. Doesn't matter, he's preaching to everybody. But just a historical consideration. Because what happens in Genesis chapter 6? The sons of God do what here? See the daughters of men and they start to do what? They're not marrying them because of their godly character, but as Jude says, their ungodliness, their sinfulness, their lustfulness, their polygamy. I want more than one wife. You see the point, maybe? I see great harmony in the Bible when I read this. I see great harmony. And so here again, it's kind of like a spearhead, maybe, Enoch here before the actual storm. And literally, what happens during the days of Noah? Noah's flood. And so he's kind of like the spearhead here. And he's walking with God. He's pleasing God. And how is he pleasing God? He is hammering down on the truth, saying, you guys are ungodly, unrighteous, and you better straighten up because the Lord is coming. He's going to judge the entire world. And so in a sense, we know that the flood of Noah is a type of judgment. Peter refers to that in 2 Peter 3. As in the days of Noah, they were doing what? Eating and drinking and marrying and doing all these wonderful and fun. And what happens? Noah had been preaching too. If you look at 2 Peter 2 verse 5, it says he was a preacher too. So again, I see Noah as highly influenced by someone in his life. Not just God, but perhaps his great-grandfather, Enoch. Interesting to me. Makes for good or interesting Bible study. So those are some things to consider. And I think I've got about two or three more minutes and we'll take a break and go to the invitation. But I want to make these points. First, I want you to notice about Enoch. As the Hebrews writer said, by faith he walked with God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing God. Listening to God. Doing what God says, always and above all else, no matter what. If Enoch was by faith walking with God, he was listening to God during a very, very wicked and perverse time. If 74 or 76 years later Noah is born, it's not too much further down the line of time from Adam, 1,000-some-odd years, that Noah starts to preach for at least 120 years or so. And builds an ark to the saving of his household. And how many people are saved in an entire world? 8 people. I'm telling you. I prayed for transparency and truth and understanding. A very sobering prayer for me 3-4 years ago. And I'm going to tell you something. 2020 has been a very transparent year for many reasons. It has defined me, my character, who I am, what I stand for, what I don't stand for. And it's also defined a lot of other people. And I didn't do that. God allowed these things to happen, these events. And I must walk with God by faith. So Enoch walked with God when the whole world was going down fast. Number two, he preached with results. His results, I would say, Noah. Noah finds grace in the eyes of God. Who are you living for? What are you living for? What is your investment in? Well, I don't know about you, but I know about me and Gina. When we got married, we said we're putting God first. And we've tried to do that every day of our life. Made mistakes? Yes. Corrected those mistakes? You betcha, by the word of God. We decided to have children. We said we want to have children, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why do we do these things? Why do we preach? We preach for results. The results are for God. I think Noah was a fine example of the results there, but yet only 8 people were saved. Maybe we'll... Yes, sir.
Noah also walked with God.
That's right.
So there was a result there.
That's right. And again, to emphasize, you can't walk with God by your own whims, your own thinking. You have to walk with God by what God says, right? We do what God says. Thank you. Very good. Number three, he spoke of judgment. It's interesting that all godly men who preach the truth preach about one thing for sure, and that's the judgment of God. Prepare to meet your maker. Here recently, I had the opportunity to, again, sit in discussion about this virus thing, and I said, well, we answer to a higher authority, though. And one person looked at me and went, pfft. Well, don't we? Don't I answer to a higher authority? We preach of judgment. I will answer to God. I will answer and stand before God Almighty. And Gina won't stand for me, and I won't stand for her. I will stand for myself. I must preach about judgment. Righteousness, that's what Enoch was doing. And then finally, number four, he received his reward. He walked with God, he pleased God, and God did what? Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 5. We earnestly groan to be clothed upon. And so we walk by faith. I haven't seen that celestial, eternal, neither feminine nor masculine body, I guess. Because in heaven we're neither married or given in marriage, but we'll be as the angels, the Lord says. But it's a celestial, eternal body. I haven't seen that, but you better believe that I'm walking by faith. Because I've seen this body, and I've seen the disease and the decay that already takes place at 47, 46, whatever I am. I've seen it. I felt it. At what point, Raymond, do you quit counting? I mean, I just quit counting a long time, you know, just what's the matter anyway? Just walk by faith, because our reward is coming. And so those 4 points, I think, are interesting when you think of the character study of Enoch. Any comments or questions? Okay, I appreciate your attention very much.